way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to ParentCast, a podcast dedicated to new parents, new babies, and their new lives together. So listen and relax, because it's free, it's funny, and it's a lot better than therapy. Hello, and welcome to episode 2 of ParentCast. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
And I'm Mr. Mary Larson.
Otherwise known as my husband, Blake.
That's right, baby.
What are we talking about today, sweetheart?
Today we are talking about car seat safety.
Car seat safety, otherwise known as car seat safety to everyone who doesn't live around here.
Dude, why are you going to make fun of me?
Because that's my job. So, you know, talking about making fun, it's time to enter the judgment-free zone. We need to poke a little fun at ourselves because we did a terrible thing with car seats when our child was born.
I know. What we did was we had all the great intentions in the world of putting him in the seat and actually doing the right thing. The problem was that we put him in the seat completely incorrectly. And we put his arm and his leg in the same hole on both sides. So he was totally strapped in wrong. Like if we got in a car accident, he'd be dead. Like there's no way around it.
Oh, it's so sad, but so true. And we kept him like that, I think, for a month until I saw a diagram of what children in car seats are supposed to look like.
I know. And I still think he hates us to this day as a result of it.
You know, we used to wonder, why doesn't our child fall asleep in the car? Why does he cry and scream all of the time when he's in the car seat? And now we know.
It's because we were trying to take like 10 pounds of crap and put it in a 1 pound bag. You're not supposed to do that.
No.
I remember him looking at us like, dude, what are you doing right now? Like, I am less than 4 days old, and I still actually know better than you guys who are 30-year-old parents. There's no reason why those people at the hospital ever should have let us out with that baby the way that it was.
They did because we covered him with the swaddle.
Yeah, but that's their job. You feel like that they would actually look underneath the swaddle. You know, that's like being an accountant and sucking at math.
No, you know, I think they looked at us and they said, these people are educated, intelligent parents. They probably have seen what a child looks like in a car seat before.
No, what we were underslept, weird people that have no reason to be taking a child home.
And the sad thing is we are not alone. There's supposedly like an alarming statistic how so many parents actually install car seats improperly.
I know. I feel better about myself because I know I'm not the only idiot on this planet that has done it incorrectly.
When we realized that we were doing this wrong, Blake and I really sat down and we said, oh my God, why? Why are we allowed to have a child?
We aren't fit to have a child in our house.
But the good thing is we are not alone. And a lot of people have questions still about car seats. I mean, we've now moved our little guy, Reese. He's 10 months old. We've now moved him into a convertible car seat. And we still have questions about that.
Well, luckily, honey, we actually have someone who's an expert in car seat safety that we're bringing on here to interview real soon. So why don't we go ahead and just bring her on in?
All right. So we want to welcome Dina Morrissey, who is the program coordinator for the Injury Prevention Center at Rhode Island Hospital. And she's also the coordinator for Safe Kids Rhode Island. Thank you so much, Dina, for coming in to talk to Blake and I here on ParentCast. Why don't you start off by telling us a bit about yourself and how you became involved in car seat safety?
Okay. Well, I actually started out my professional life as a pediatrician, and I worked as a pediatrician for about 10 years. And then I took a little time off to be with my kids when they were growing up. And then when I was ready to re-enter the workforce, I wanted to do something a little bit different. So I went back and got a master's in public health, and then I started working at the Injury Prevention Center and learned a lot about car seats and became really fascinated about the fact that motor vehicle crashes are the number one killer of kids, and car seats are very effective. They can prevent death up to 71%, reduce the risk by 71%, but about 75% are used incorrectly. So there's a huge need there for education and outreach. So that's how I became interested in car seats.
Dina, I still have absolutely no idea when it comes to car seats. I have no idea what I'm doing. So what do you think are the most common things that parents are doing incorrectly when they're installing them?
You know, we do a lot of car seat checks, both at the Injury Prevention Center where I work, and we do a lot of car seat check events. And I have to say, I can't even count how many forms of, you know, misuse. People can be very creative when installing things in their car seats. I think, you know, first of all, the first thing that people do wrong is that they don't read the manual that came with the car seat. And actually, to install the car seat correctly and use it correctly, you need the manual that comes with the car seat and the manual that comes with your car, because every car has certain restrictions and rules about where you can install car seats and how to install them. So, you know, if you're not starting by looking at those things, you might make a mistake. But the most common mistakes are that the car seat isn't locked into place. Like, people might just put the seatbelt through the belt path and buckle it in and think that's it, and it's really not. We see a lot of mistakes with the harness adjusted incorrectly. The top of the harness straps aren't adjusted at the proper level, or they're way too loose, or the chest is way too loose. Those are the real common mistakes.
Now, I know that there's, in addition to all these common mistakes, there's different seats. So people start off often with a bucket seat. So what's the difference between the bucket seat and the convertible car seat?
Well, the bucket seat, or we call it an infant-only or a rear-facing-only seat. Typically, it's used with a base that gets installed in the car, and then the bucket part or the carrier part clips in and out, although you can use most of them without the base. We don't recommend using it that way. Typically, those seats go to 22 to, you know, some go up to as high as 30 pounds, and you know, most kids have outgrown them by the time they reach their first birthday. A convertible car seat is called a convertible seat because it can be used as a rear-facing seat for a range of weights, which is specific to whichever seat you're using. And then once the child has outgrown the parameters for using it rear-facing, you can turn it around and use it as a front-facing seat up to a certain height and weight. So it converts. It gets installed in the car and it stays in the car. It's not something that you can carry the baby around in.
Now, if a grandparent or someone who occasionally drives the child should be getting a car seat, which one should they be getting?
Infant seats are very convenient when the baby is really small because, you know, you can carry the baby around in it. You don't have to wake the baby up, getting them in and out of the car seat. A lot of them come as a travel system, so it'll clip right into a stroller, which is obviously very convenient for people. But it's not as cost effective. You know, you don't get as much use for your dollar. So if you're, you know, really not transporting the child frequently, I would probably recommend getting a convertible car seat because that's going to last you a whole lot longer than the infant car seat.
In terms of the purchases, Dina, do we always have to purchase a new one, or can we get a car seat through a family or some friends, or can we get them like on Craigslist or like eBay?
Right. That's a really good question. What we recommend is if you're going to get a secondhand car seat, you need to get it from somebody you know and trust, because the important things that you need to know are, one, that the car seat's never been involved in a car crash, and that the person has taken appropriate care of the car seat so that you know it's in good working order. We do not recommend buying from like secondhand shops or flea markets or off Craigslist where, you know, people might tell you, oh, it's fine, it's never been in a crash, but, you know, who knows, they want to sell you a car seat. So we don't recommend doing that.
And more importantly, I actually heard that car seats expire. Is that true?
Yep, it's absolutely true. The vast majority expire in 6 years, and they all come with lots of labels on them, but there'll be a label on it with the manufacture date and the model number and everything. And they also come with an expiration date actually stamped into the plastic in the back of the seat. So as I said, most of them expire 6 years after they were made. There are a few seats that last a little bit longer. 7 years is one that I know of that lasts 10 years, but the vast majority, it's 6 years, and you have to replace it.
Jeez, man, we're actually going to have to check our expiration date on our seat, because we borrowed it from my sister. So we're going to have to check that. Where would you actually find the expiration date or the manufacturer? Like, where would you find it typically?
The labels, I mean, different manufacturers put them in different places, and sometimes it's, you know, a little bit of a hunt to find them. Usually they're on the side of the car seat, the label with the manufacturer date and the model number and everything. The expiration date is typically stamped right in the middle of the back of the car seat, right on the plastic. It's not a label. It's actually stamped like in the plastic, molded into the plastic, and said, it will say, do not use after, and then it'll have a date.
I know what we're doing tomorrow.
How old is the child who used that car seat? That's another way to...
He's 2 years old, so I think we're in the clear.
Yeah, you should be good.
So now that we have our car seat, and I think we're actually using the latch system. So can you explain to us what the latch system is?
Sure. The latch system is something that was introduced into cars. Now it's been a little over 10 years. They started being required in all cars in 2003. And latch stands for lower anchors and tethers for children. And the idea behind the latch system was that it would be a more uniform kind of user-friendly way for parents to install car seats. Can't say it always accomplishes that goal, but that's the idea behind it. Typically, cars will have latch available in certain seating positions, but not necessarily in all seating positions. So you have to check the manual that comes with your car to see where latch is available. There are also weight limits associated with using at least the lower anchors. I'll talk about this more in a second, but you almost have to think of it them separately, the lower anchors and the top tether. So you want to check that too, and that should be in your car manual, the upper weight limit that you can use those lower anchors. Something that causes a lot of confusion when people are installing car seats, and I think that the name has a lot to do with it because we call it the latch system. When you install a car seat front facing, you should be attaching something called a top tether, which is on the top of the seat, and it attaches to a tether point. If it's just a regular car, it's usually right on that back kind of shelf of the car. And that helps stabilize the car seat in another place. And even if you install the car seat using the seat belt, you still want to be sure that you attach that top tether. So in other words, like latch doesn't have to go together all the time.
So do the car seats come with this, you know, this tethering, or do you kind of bungee cord it?
Oh, God, no. No, they all come with a top tether strap and a hook that hooks on. And okay, let me backtrack a little. Infant car seats, the infant-only car seats, do not have any tether. You would never use them front-facing.
That's the one, the bucket seat, you're saying. So the bucket seats don't tether.
No. Convertible car seats... this is something that's kind of changing now. It used to be, even just, you know, as short as a few years ago, that you never tethered your convertible seat when you were using it rear facing. Now there are some models that you do tether rear facing. I would still say that most you don't, but it's more and more you are. All seats, when you use them front facing, you always use the tether, unless you have a very old car that doesn't have a top tether anchor, like, you know, a car 1998 or older.
Now, you said that we're going to tether whether we're using the latch or the seatbelt. Some people, I think, feel strongly about the latch or the seatbelt. Is there any benefit to doing either or?
No, they're both equally safe. I think what I usually recommend, as long as the, you know, the child is within the weight limit of using the lower anchors, the latch anchors, whatever's easier for the parent, whatever they're going to do correctly, you know, use that. And sometimes seating position makes a difference too. Like if you want to put the child in the middle seat, most of the times latch isn't going to be available for you to put the car seat in there. So then you're going to have to use the seatbelt.
That's exactly what happened to us. I was putting the child in the middle area, even though there wasn't a latch properly there. I was latching from one side, from the left side, and then from the right side.
Yeah, can't do that.
And, right. You know, Mary and I were actually talking about this earlier in our program before we started with you. We were actually putting our child, Reese, incorrectly into the seat. We were putting his arms and his legs in like the same hole, and he absolutely hated every second of it. He looked at us with like these dead eyes, and he hated it. What are some other more common ways that parents are installing them the wrong way? And like, what's the craziest one you ever saw?
Well, people tend to do very creative things with like the latch anchors and the tether strap. I've seen them hooked up to just random things in the car all over the place. Sometimes when you're installing a rear facing car seat, you need to use something to help you get the correct recline angle. Once I said somebody put a 2x4 under the car seat, which you obviously would never want to do.
Oh my God.
You know, I've seen people put infant seats in front facing, which isn't safe, and that isn't a good idea. Oh, I'm trying to think, what are some of the other crazy things?
I feel like we're going to have to send you a picture, by the way, of how improperly we were putting our poor child in.
Yeah, I've seen people who like have completely taken the harness out and they're not using a harness at all. Or they've cut the straps, or, you know, just crazy things.
Wow. I mean, I want to say that these people are kind of dumb, but then I'd just be making fun of myself. And I'm not sure if I'm prepared to do that quite yet.
One of the things that really surprised me when I started doing this, the course that we teach it now and that I had to take when I first started doing this, that it's mostly police officers take to become, we call it CPS technicians or child passenger safety technicians, is 4 days long. And the reason it's four, and there's a lot to learn. It's not like we're, you know, sitting around, you know, just chit-chatting for 4 days. There's a lot of information packed into the 4 days. And the reason is because there's a lot to learn. Car seats are very different. Cars are different. So it's very confusing. So I can totally understand why people get it wrong. It's not really that straightforward as you think it might be. Like, you just put the seatbelt through, buckle it in, done, drive away. But it's really not that simple.
I'll tell you what, when Blake and I first were installing the seat, we took to YouTube and we were watching YouTube videos about it. And they were all, you know, just homemade videos. So instead of that, where should we be going to make sure that our seats are properly installed?
Well, you have a couple options. You know, one, you can go and get your car seat installation checked by a CPS technician. So you can come to us at the Injury Prevention Center. We either do it by appointments. We're in Providence, so you can call us and make an appointment. Or once the weather starts getting a little better, which we're all hoping will be very soon, we will start having our car seat check events. And we usually have at least one and often two a week in different locations. And I have them all in a Google Calendar on our website. So you can just, those you can just show up at. You don't need an appointment. Also, there are many local police stations that do it. I try to reach out to them every once in a while so I know exactly what they're doing in terms of car seat checks, and I have it listed on our website as well by town, both in Rhode Island and southeastern Massachusetts. So you could look on our website and see if there's a town near you where they have police officers that do it. I would recommend that. If you want to go the route of trying to do it yourself, first, you definitely want to have the manual that came with the car seat, and you want to read through it, and you want to be sure that you have the manual that came with your car and open it to the section that says, you know, child restraints or car seats. Every car manual will have that. The other thing you can do, if you want to watch a video, I recommend all the car seat manufacturers have like a YouTube channel and post videos. Or on their website, you know, if you had a Graco car seat, you go to graco.com. They all have installation tips and videos on their websites. Because again, it's different with different car seats. So you're going to want to watch the video of the type of car seat that you have, not some other type of car seat. So if you're going to go that route, I would recommend doing that, going to the manufacturer's website and watching their installation videos.
Speaking of the major brands, I heard that there was a recent recall on a lot of different car seats. Could you explain it and which car seat it is and what what the problem was, why it got recalled.
Well, the recall just came out today, and honestly, I haven't read through all the details of it, but I did hear about it. It was a Graco car seat. I believe it was the Graco MyRide, but I'm not positive about that, and it does apply to a range of years and model numbers, and it's a problem with the buckle, that the buckle might not perform correctly. I'm not sure the details of that either. And what Graco is doing is providing a replacement buckle. So if you own the car seat, if you filled out the registration card when you first bought your car seat and put it in the mail and sent it back to them, then they should have you on file and they will just send you the replacement buckle and instructions of how to do it. If you haven't done that, you might want to call the customer line, which is also on a label right on your car seat on the side, and tell them, you know, which model number you have, the date of manufacture. They will tell you if it's on the recall and, you know, work with you on the remedy for that recall.
So this recall was a nationwide thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in terms of just locally, are there any like specific laws that people should know that are specific to Rhode Island about car seat safety or any other things that could go wrong with it or anything that they should know to prepare themselves for specific car seats?
We do have a law as far as transporting children in car seats and seat belts in Rhode Island. And the law in Rhode Island is that a child – up until their eighth birthday, unless prior to their eighth birthday, they're both 4 feet, 9 inches tall and 80 pounds, that they need to be in the back seat of the car, properly restrained in an appropriate car seat or booster seat. So that's our law. And I can say, you know, compared with other laws in other states, it's really one of the, you know, best, one of the strongest laws. One thing that I think it kind of misses is, you know, the law only applies to children up until their eighth birthday. So technically, by law, after your eighth birthday, you don't need to be in a car seat or a booster seat anymore. And technically, you don't even need to be in the back seat by law. But for a child's safety, what's way more important than their age is their size. I mean, you know, kids vary a lot in their sizes. You know, you might be a very big 8-year-old and perfectly fine sitting with the seatbelt, but a lot of 8-year-olds aren't. They're still too small. The seatbelt doesn't fit them correctly. It comes across their neck. You know, their legs aren't long enough to bend over the seat of the car. So really, for their safety, they need to be big enough to sit with the seatbelt, not just 8 years old.
So let's just say, my kid's a giant, and he's going to be enormous. I'm 6'4". Mary is 6 feet nearly. So let's say that he's like 6, and he's already close to 80 pounds, or he's just slightly over 80 pounds. I don't know. I'm not even sure if that's possible, but let's just say that it is.
Sure, yeah.
Would he be all right sitting in the front seat or just sitting with the seatbelt at that point?
I definitely wouldn't put him in the front seat. I mean, the back seat's just safer for everybody, even adults. So I would stay away from the front seat. Height's very important also. And typically, the seatbelt isn't going to fit correctly until a child is 4 feet, 9 inches tall. But I'm going to tell you what I tell parents, which is the seatbelt fit test. And this is how you can tell that he's ready to sit with just a seatbelt, not a booster seat. So if you have the child sit on the back seat of the car with their, you know, back all the way up against the back of the seat, their legs have to be long enough that their knees bend over the edge of the seat, and their feet, ideally their feet reach the floor. That's not essential, but it's better if their feet reach the floor. And then they need to be tall enough that when you buckle them in, the shoulder portion of the seatbelt is coming across their shoulder and it's not rubbing up against the neck, and the lap portion is sitting nicely on their hips and it's not riding up on the stomach. So when you can do that, they're ready to sit with just the seatbelt. So I like to tell parents that instead of telling them an age or even a weight or a height so much, because cars are different and seatbelts fit different. It's really when the seatbelt fits correctly, then they're ready to get out of the booster seat.
I wish booster seats were more common back when we were kids, because I remember so often just taking that shoulder strap and, you know, tucking it behind me. So I really just kind of had the lap belt on me. So I kind of wish that they had them back then.
we never even use seatbelts in my family.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm probably quite a bit older than you guys. We didn't have seatbelts in my car when I was a kid. And, you know, it was the days of the station wagon where you piled as many kids as possible in the back of the station wagon. And you're all just bouncing around in there. But, yeah, things have changed. And, you know, we know better. And we have ways of making, you know, going in the car much safer. And we really want all parents to know about them and use them.
Now, speaking actually outside of the car, a lot of people take the bucket seats and they can click them into strollers to take the kids for walks. But then I often see parents take the bucket seat and they put it inside a grocery cart, kind of like where the little kid would sit. What's the scoop with that?
We do not recommend doing that. Basically, like using the car seat in any way that the manufacturer didn't intend it to be used. We don't recommend using it. So, you know, we always tell people it's not a bed, you know, the child shouldn't be spending the whole day in it, sleeping in it. Another thing that parents do, which I think is unsafe, is, you know, they carry the child around in it and they'll put it up on a counter or on a bed or something, and the child's asleep and they think it's fine, and they don't realize when the child wakes up and starts squirming around how much that seat can move. And that's not an uncommon thing to see in the emergency department is, you know, a child who was in a car seat on a table or something and fell off.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah. So we say the car, you know, use the car seat the way the manufacturer intended it. So that's for travel in the car. If it comes as a travel system, use it with the stroller that it's intended to be used with, but not with other things. Because you just don't know if it's, you know, if it's secure, if it's safe. So we can't recommend that.
I know when I would put Reese in his bucket seat, and even now with his convertible seat that he's in, I always have a hard time gauging how tight to make the straps. I mean, what's a good rule of thumb? I mean, I feel like I'm suffocating him sometimes.
Oh, well, yeah, you don't need to do that. So a couple things about the harness straps. First of all, when you have a child in a rear-facing seat, you want the top of the straps to be either be right level with the baby's shoulders or a little bit below. When they're in a car seat that's facing forward, you want it either right level with the shoulders or a little bit above. So you have to be sure and check on that. As far as tightness goes, you want it snug, but it doesn't have to be suffocating the baby. So we say to do a pinch test, which you take the harness and you kind of run it between your fingers right at the shoulders, and you shouldn't be able to like pinch up loose material on the harness strap. But you should be able to comfortably slip two fingers between the harness and the baby. You know, they need to be able to breathe. Breathing is very important. So I have seen parents, you know, they're really like, you know, they want to do the right thing. They want the baby to be really safe, and they just have those harness straps so tight, you know, it's just very uncomfortable for the baby.
I think that's my fault. I definitely have been keeping them super tight. Sorry, Blake. Speaking of the harness straps, there's that buckle, the harness buckle, I guess the top buckle. Where is that supposed to be situated?
That should be, we call it the retainer clip. A lot of people call it a chest clip. It should be on the chest, not on the stomach, on the chest about the level of the armpits. So that's a big misuse, a big mistake. We often see it down on the stomach, and it shouldn't be down there. It should be up on the chest at the level of the armpits.
I know I'm guilty of that. I always that buckle is always wicked low on Reese. It's like always by his down, like near his belly button sometimes.
Yeah, well, see, now you're going to have to fix that.
I've actually heard that even if you get in a minor car accident with these with these seats, you can't even use the car seat anymore. And that maybe even the insurance that you have would pay for a new one. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah, that is all true. There are specific criteria for allowing you to use a car seat after a crash. So, you know, all these things have to be true. You have to be able to drive the car away from the scene. No visible damage to the car seat. The damage to the car can't be on the side, like right next to where the car seat is installed. The airbags can't have deployed, and nobody needed to go to the hospital or the emergency room. So, you know, really we're just talking like a little fender bender kind of thing. So if all those criteria are met, then yes, you can continue to use the car seat. If you answered no to any of those questions, then you need to replace the car seat. And it is true that many, and I can't say all, I'm not sure about all, but in my experience, most insurance companies will cover the cost of a new car seat.
Back when Reese was inside his bucket seat, we noticed that his head would flop around a lot. And so I purchased this like almost pillow-like device that kind of helped keep his head upright and kind of kept him snug. But now I'm hearing that I probably shouldn't have put that in the car seat with them. So what are they allowed to have in the car seat with them?
Only things that come with the car seat. With all those other things, we call them aftermarket products, things that weren't made with the car seat. They were made, you know, by someone else completely separately. They haven't been crash tested with the car seat. You don't really know if it's going to affect the performance of the car seat in a crash. So if it didn't come with the car seat, then you shouldn't use it. A lot of the infant seats will come with their own little like head support thing, and that's fine to use, but you don't want to buy an extra one and put it in the car seat. Also, you have to be careful too of putting something behind the, especially an infant, behind the baby's head, because sometimes it'll make it flop a little too far forward. So you have to be careful with that. But
would you recommend anything if they do kind of, you know, lean their head all the way, say to the right-hand side? Is there anything that we can do to keep
them from doing that? The only thing that is approved to do is you can take like those thin receiving blankets that they give you in the hospital and roll them up and put them on the sides of the car seat to take up some of the extra space. So that's okay to do.
And how about like mirrors? Like, I know we use a mirror to look at Reese when he's there. Can we use those too?
I know we're so mean. We tell people to get rid of all the stuff that they, you know, have gotten in their baby shower and presents. We don't recommend those things. The main reason we don't recommend them is all those things tend to come off in a crash. The mirrors and the roller window shades and all those things, they're typically made of like plastic, sometimes even metal, and they're hard and they can hit the baby. So we don't recommend using those. We also tell people, you know, look around your car. Basically anything that's not, you know, restrained or belted down can become a projectile in a crash. And often people have some pretty interesting things in their car that could be pretty dangerous if you got into a car crash. So you want to check that out too. And the other thing that's true for is adults that aren't wearing their seatbelts. So sometimes we run into parents who are, you know, very careful about making sure their children are correctly buckled into their car seats, but they're not using their seatbelts. And what I tell them is, well, even if you're not going to do it for yourself, which you should because you want to be around for your child, you could become a projectile in the case of a crash, and you could actually harm or even kill your child, and that has happened. So you don't want to have a lot of projectiles in your car, including other people.
Wow, I'm going to start putting a lot more things inside the trunk of my car. That's for certain.
I know. I was going to say, this sounds a lot like somebody that's involved in this conversation right now. And I'm not saying it's me, but I may know someone that has a lot of stuff in their car.
Okay. Yeah, I know. We see a lot of cars with a lot of interesting things.
I might be that person. Well, nonetheless, we had a lot of friends on Facebook send in some questions for you, Dina. And Lisa S. wanted to know the situation with children and babies, how they can't wear winter coats in the car seat. So why not?
Basically, you want that harness to have a nice snug fit for it to perform correctly in a crash. You don't want a lot of what we call dead space between the child and the harness, which is what those puffy coats do. And so then there's too much movement of the child in a crash. So that's why you don't want to be wearing the big puffy down winter coats. So what we recommend is just having the child in, you know, a regular weight outfit, getting them harnessed into the seat, and then covering them either with their coat or a blanket on top of them. I know it's not like the most convenient thing, but it's really the only way to have the child harnessed in correctly.
I actually have a fleece poncho. And right. So is that something that you would recommend? It gets buckled underneath him, you know, with his regular, just his regular clothes.
Well, the ponchos that I've seen, actually, you harness the child in and the poncho like kind of lays over the harness.
Yes, that's how his is.
Yes, those are great. Yeah. Yeah, as long as it's not between the child and the harness, then you're fine.
Jamie C. asks, what's the safest backseat position for the car seat? Is it behind the driver, in the passenger middle? Which one is the best position?
Statistically, the middle is the safest because if you were to be involved in a side impact crash, obviously there's the most space and it's the safest. Then between behind the driver and the passenger, really statistically there isn't a safer side. So then it's more what's more convenient for the parent. You know, some people like to have them on the other side because they're a little easier to glance back and see them. Some people prefer to have them behind them. The other things that come into play when deciding where to put the car seat is, and this is mostly true for rear-facing seats, you know, if you're very tall, you guys might run into this, it can be hard to fit the rear-facing seat right behind you, especially behind the driver, because that limits how far back you can move that front seat. And if you're very tall, you might not be able to both fit a rear-facing car seat and move your seat far enough back so that you're comfortable and can drive. So all those things kind of come into play when deciding where to put the car seat.
How about if you have two car seats? So if you have two kids in a car seat.
Well, you know, that presents a challenge too. Car seats tend to be kind of big and wide, and there are ones that are narrower, but they often take up more than one seating position. So then it becomes impossible to put one in the middle and one next to it because they just don't fit next to each other. So again, it depends on what car seats you have, on what type of car you have. So, you know, when people come to us with multiple kids and car seats, we kind of look at their car, look at their situation, and figure out what's going to work best for them. But it's kind of unique to every situation.
Does it matter if the bucket seat handle is up or is it down?
That depends on which car seat it is. There are different. Some manufacturers let you have the handle in any position as long as it's locked. Some want it up, some want it back. So you have to check the manual that came with your seat and see what that manufacturer wants you to do with the handle. Also, often on the carrier itself, there's a label, like a picture on the side that shows you the positions that are okay to have the handle in when you're traveling.
Oh, we're going to have to take a look at that. Now that we're not even in the bucket seat, I don't even know if we did it the right way. We'll have to take a look at it next time.
Based on our history, I guarantee we did it the wrong way.
Yeah, sadly. Well, our friend Rebecca B., she said that the foam in her car seat, it's starting to become unattached from the hard plastic base, and she wonders what kind of routine maintenance should be done with car seats.
You know, again, it's something that you want to check the manual, and every manual will have a section on that, on routine maintenance. In general, though, one, they don't want you to use any kind of like harsh like detergents or anything like that. So if you're going to take the cover off or take the harness straps out to wash them, and I know babies are messy, you need to do that. They would just want you to use like warm water, maybe a gentle detergent, hand wash it, hang it to dry, never put it in the dryer. If things are starting to come apart with the car seat, it might be time to get another car seat. I wouldn't recommend like taping or gluing or doing anything like that, because then you're really starting to change the way the car seat was put together. So check the manual, see what they recommend in terms of routine maintenance and cleaning. In general, like I said, it's just, you know, gentle hand washing with mild detergent, hanging things to dry. And the other thing that can be tough for parents sometimes when they do take the harness out or the cover off is getting it back together. And I've had parents come to our car seat checks, you know, just almost in tears with like, and just dump all the pieces on the ground and say, I can't do it. It's so confusing. So kind of pay attention when you take it apart to how it came apart so you can put it back together.
I actually took pictures when I took mine apart, because since we got it from Blake's sister, you know, I had to go through and clean out Fruit Loops and stuff from in between the seat. So I took pictures while I was doing it, because it was very complicated and difficult to put back together.
Yeah, it's not intuitive either. So yeah, that's a good idea. Take pictures.
Magdalena B. wants to know about the age and height and weight regulations for forward-facing versus rear-facing for the cars for the car seats. Can she turn a baby around when she turns two, or does she need to wait for a certain height or weight in addition to the age?
Well, what we recommend, what the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends, is keeping kids rear-facing as long as possible, or, you know, at a minimum waiting until they're 2 years old. As far as the height and weight that you can use a car seat rear facing, it varies from seat to seat. So you have to check your particular car seat to see what the maximum height and weight is for that car seat. There are car seats that you can only use rear facing to 30 pounds, or if it's an infant seat, only to 22 pounds. And there is one car seat that you can use rear facing all the way up to 45 pounds. So it varies from seat to seat. So you have to check the seat, and we recommend keeping them in that seat rear facing as long as they fit in it. As long as they haven't reached the maximum height or weight and they can be rear facing, it's much safer to keep them rear facing.
Do they have to max out on both the height and weight, or as soon as they pass one of those?
If they pass one, then you can't use it anymore. So if the car seat is rated to 35 pounds rear facing and the baby's 36 or 37 pounds, even if they haven't reached the maximum height, that you either get a different car seat or you use it front facing. But yeah, once they reach they max out on one, you can't use it anymore.
Now, our little guy, as Blake said, he's already pretty tall for his age, but he still is rear facing. It seems like his legs are already starting to hit the back of the seat. Should we be concerned about that?
No, that's not a problem. And that happens a lot now that we're keeping kids rear facing longer. I think that bothers parents a lot more than it bothers kids. They really don't break their legs and things like that in car crashes. And they also it doesn't really seem to bother them. I mean, kids are pretty flexible and they always sit cross-legged. One rule of thumb about rear-facing seats and tall kids, you want the baby's head to be at least an inch below the top of the shell of the car seat. So if, you know, it's fine if their legs are going over the edge in the back, but if their head's up to the edge or over, then they're too tall for the car seat. And you either need to get a different seat or turn it around, use it front-facing, or it's time to move on to something else.
All right, and moving on to something else, our friend Cara B, she is going to be switching from the bucket seat to a convertible seat, mm-hmm. and she wonders what parents should be looking for when they're shopping around for a new seat.
You know, there's lots of seats out there and a huge price range. I will say that all seats that are manufactured and sold in this country have to meet safety standards, and so they are all safe. You need to get a seat that's obviously appropriate for your child's height and weight. That's going to fit in the car you have. If you have a tiny little, you know, Toyota Corolla or Mini Cooper, you're not going to want to buy, you know, the big, massive, well, I won't name names, but there are some car seats that are huge and they really don't even fit in the car. So you have to take that into consideration. And then, you know, it's going to have to be a car seat that you're going to be able to use correctly. So you're going to be able to install it correctly, use the harness correctly. They all come with different features, you know, that might be more important to one person versus another. So you want to look at those. And then, you know, the price range is different too. So, you know, that might steer you one way or another.
Dina, is there anything else that you'd like new parents to know about their car seat safety? Like if there was one thing that we should take from our conversation here or something that we haven't gone over, what's like that one thing that people should know?
Well, I think that the most important thing is, you know, to be aware that it takes a little bit of work and reading to be using and installing your car seat correctly. And that if you're confused about it or, you know, you really aren't sure, that there is lots of help available out there. So you should take advantage of it, because car seats, you know, they really work. Car crashes are still the number one killer of kids, but they're not going to work their best if they're not used correctly. So we really want to see parents using them correctly.
Well, thank you so much, Dina. That just about does it for our questions. And if our listeners have any more questions, how can they contact you, or what websites would you recommend that they check out?
Well, they can send me messages on, I have a Facebook page. It's Safe Kids Rhode Island. So they can certainly send me messages on that and I'll get back to them, or on my Twitter. They can go to our webpage is www.ipc.rhodeislandhospital.org. And we have a lot of information on there. We have some videos of our own. We have the police stations listed where you can get a car seat check. I keep the calendar of events there. So there's a lot of good information there too.
Great. Well, Dina, thank you so much for joining us here on ParentCast. We really appreciate all the information you've given us. It's been incredibly useful. Hopefully, we've done some good here. And again, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, Dina.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
Blake, we have a lot of work to do, it sounds like.
A lot of work. As a matter of fact, I'm actually kind of a little overwhelmed about all of this.
Oh, why?
Because we just talked to that lady for over a half hour, and we were actually talking about, like, off air, about what we should be including in this interview and not including in this interview, and all of it was relevant, every single bit of it, and we talked for over a half hour.
I know, and then to hear that the number one reason that children die is because of motor vehicle accidents.
Oh my God, I don't even want to drive the kid anymore.
I know.
I don't even want to get in the car anymore.
I'm just going to pull him around in his sled. That's it.
Even when it's not even snowing.
Yeah, it'll be safer. No, but seriously, I'm really happy we had that conversation, because, you know, we're going to have to think about when to turn him around and everything. So
I'll tell you what, we definitely got to go over there and check the expiration date on a thing and take all the crap out of your car.
I think that is the first thing we have to do.
All the Dunkin' Donuts cups, all the different papers and
my
books.
Instruments.
Yeah. Are you telling me like a tuba ain't going to, you know, collide with that kid and kill him?
It is not a tuba. It's a trumpet. Well, you need to learn your instruments.
Sorry,
nonetheless, no.
But it's all the same to me.
But we did. We
all you people are the same.
All us musicians, please. Please.
Well, honey, you know what I think after all that information?
Yeah.
I think it's time.
Time for what?
Time for the wine of the week. My kids' rash is my wine of the week.
Do tell.
Oh my God, he has been really sick lately, and all the diarrhea, all the crap that he's been crapping out, and just sitting in his own juices and taking medicine and stuff. He has the world's worst diaper rash. Like it was bordering bleeding. It was bad.
It was really terrible.
And like the kid couldn't even sit down. We couldn't even hold them the right way we normally do. And he was so upset. And he was so clingy. It was just terrible. I felt so bad for him. So my kid being absolutely miserable and then in turn making my life miserable, that's my wine of the week, dude.
Aww. Well, my wine of the week would definitely be the fact that we have to go back through sleep training, because we had kind of slept trained him and then he got sick. And I don't know if you guys can hear, but he's actually up crying again right now. So we're going to have to go check up on him. But it just stinks.
We're just blatantly ignoring our child.
Sleep training stinks. For any of you who haven't gone through it yet, it is really, really tough. And it definitely has results. But it's really tough. So especially, you know, you can't do it when your kid's sick or when your kid's teething. But when your kid's sick or teething, they get out of whack. And then you have to kind of hit the reset button and do it all over again. So that's my wine of the week.
But on a better note, how about your win of the week?
My win of the week is that our little guy is starting to communicate a little bit better. Like we can tell when he wants something or when he doesn't want something. And I'm really hoping that sign language is going to start paying off. I think he's really starting to understand what I'm saying and communicating.
Well, with the amount of work that you've been putting in with this sign language stuff that you've been doing with him, I think it is starting to come together.
If I meet anyone who's deaf and they want to have a communication about eating cereal, milk, apples, bananas, or wanting more of anything,
you
I got
basically
covered.
Describe War and Peace to them.
So yeah, I do. I hope that all the sign language is going to start paying off, but I'm starting to see it. I mean, he's been signing milk since he was 6 months old. So.
Well, at least we think he is. It's like, I think it's probably just his general sign for more or just give me something. Or that he can't control his hands.
Sweetheart, this is my win of the week. We're going to keep it positive and we're going to believe that he's signing me milk. Deal?
Yeah, it's a total deal. All right.
How about your win?
My win is definitely, I went to my best friend's house, John Gallagher, down in DC. Thank you. I hope you listen. And if you're not, I'm going to come down there and bust your legs. I was down in DC all weekend and eventually I came home and my wife, Mary, beautiful woman, had my child sitting on her hip when I came home, and he looked at me and smiled the world's biggest smile. Now, I'm not sure if he actually recognized me as like dad or like that dude that's tall, that's gangly and just brings him food every once in a while.
Possibly.
But he smiled and like knew that I was somehow like important. Mm. And it just like totally warmed my heart. And yeah, he's got the rash and he's been sick and he pisses me off all the time, but like, he's my kid and that smile will just melt my heart every time. So that's my win of the week. That's the one thing that gets me through all the crap.
I like it. And now it's time for our parent pick of the week. All right, Blake, what do you got?
What I got is, as I said before, get out of the house like I did. And then I came home to see my kid. Just get out of the house. Do whatever you got to do for an hour, 2 hours, 2 days. Find a way with your spouse to just get out of the house. You can only change so many diapers. You can only listen to your kid cry for so long. You got to be an adult. You got to go off and do whatever you got to do. Try not to have a conversation that actually isn't related to only puke and poop and just being less than a month old. Can't do it. How about you?
My parent pick of the week would be to get your child or your baby a poncho. This kind of goes hand in hand with the conversation today about car seat safety. So as we just said, that you don't want to have babies or children inside these big winter coats while they're in a car seat, but a poncho would be a safe choice, especially like a fleece poncho, something nice and warm from transportation between the house and the car. So what you get to do is you get to clip them inside the car seat as if they weren't wearing any kind of a jacket, but then the poncho lays back over them, kind of like a blanket. And there is a company here in Rhode Island called Rapeez, Rapeaze, and they make fleece ponchos for babies and children, and we're going to be doing a giveaway with them on parentcastpodcast.com. So check it out. So that's my parent pick of the week. Well, that just about wraps up the show. For any more information on this episode or on Blake and I, or even on the links that Dina had mentioned, you can head on over to our website. It's parentcastpodcast.com.
And if you want to get in touch with us personally, you can always find us on Facebook at facebook.com/parentcast.
Because we would love to hear from you guys. We would love to hear feedback about the show. We would love show suggestions, or even if you or someone you know wants to be a guest, or if they're an expert, they could possibly come on. You can reach out to us on Twitter. Our handle is @parentcast.
And if you're old school like me, you can always get us on email at parentcast@gmail.com.
So what'd you think about this episode, Blake?
I thought it was great. It took a lot of work, but you know what? It was a lot of fun, and we learned a lot about car seat safety.
We did.
Like, I'm really surprised about how much information there really is.
It's great, and I'm happy that we were able to share it with everyone else out there.
I know, me too. So, make sure you get in touch with us. Give us the feedback. If it's good, we'll put it on. If it sucks, as always, then you're out of luck.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Parentcast is a Tall Mom Media production. Please do not take anything that we say as true facts. We are not specialists or really anything. We're just parents who are trying to figure this thing out. So research things on your own.
Don't sue us.
Please.
We're poor.